I'd like to welcome you to the Lifting Up Jesus internet broadcast with Evangelist Jeremiah Dixon from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a real blessing and a privilege to be able to come to you and bring to you a message from the infallible Word of God, the King James Bible. If you have a copy of God's Word, would like to turn with us, we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30, and we welcome you to study along with us as we look into God's Word together. While you're turning, let me make our announcements for our upcoming meetings. Those of you in the local area here in Knoxville, Tennessee, please remember and pray for our local radio broadcast on AM 900 WKXV, Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. Tune us in if you have opportunity to do so. Lord willing, on Sunday, March the 1st, I'm to be with the good folks at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Dobson, North Carolina. The service begins at 6 p.m. Lord willing, I'll be bringing the message there in the evening service. Pray for the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church as they are currently without a pastor. Pray that God will send them a man to teach them the old paths of the Word of God. Then, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday evening, on the 4th of March, I'll be with the Macedonia Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, and their service begins at 7 p.m. If you have an invitation to come be with us, if you don't have a home church, we'd love to see you there in the house of God. And please do remember our website and visit us at www.liftingupjesus.com. www.liftingupjesus.com. And we'd be glad if you'd send us an email and let us know that you enjoy the messages that we bring to you from time to time. That email address is evangelistjdixon@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you, and may God bless each and every one of you for being part of this service. The Lord's laid a message upon my heart that I pray will be a help and a blessing to you. There's not a one of us that doesn't need an encouraging word from time to time. And we can find that comfort and that encouragement in God's Word. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1 in the King James Bible. The Scripture says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep." Verse 5, "And David's two wives were taken captives, Aholiam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Let us pray together, please. Father, we come to thee in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad this evening, Lord, that thou hast all power in heaven and earth. We pray now that thou wouldest give us a portion of that power, the touch of thy Spirit, thy wisdom, and thy liberty. For we stand in a place where the arm of flesh is not sufficient, The intellect of the mind is not sufficient. We need thee in this time, Father. Give us that we need. Help us as we try to bring the message that you've laid upon our soul. And then we pray for those that hear and those that will hear. May the word of God penetrate their hearts and be a help and encouragement to them as well. We love you. Thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, the scene of our text, finds David in probably one of the most discouraging situations that he ever faced in life. David and his men were excluded from the war between the Philistines and the Israelites, but they were not exempted from all wars, for they were soon fighting the Amalekites again. The cause of this particular war was the Amalekites' destructive attack upon Ziklag. When David and his men arrived back at their home in Ziklag, they found that the city had been burned to the ground. Their loved ones were nowhere in sight. Hence, they were soon to battle with the Amalekites to avenge this atrocity. I want to say some things about Ziklag as a means of introduction, and we'll move right into the message. I want to say, first of all, that Ziklag was a place of tragedy. A place of tragedy. My friend, the enemy had come in and they had burned the city and they had taken David's loved ones captives and had taken their possessions away. And we think about Ziklag. This was the town that Achish, the Philistine king, had given to David and his men to dwell in with their families and their belongings. But now the Amalekites have come. Oh, listen. You think about the culprits behind this attack. These Amalekites had been a thorn in the flesh of Israel for a long time. And the attack reflected the cowardly and cruel character of the Amalekite people. We have ample proof that this race was utterly hostile to all order and quietness. It lived by the plunder of others, and sheltering itself in the recess of the wilderness, broke out thence on every opportunity to carry ravage and ruin into all the neighboring districts. The Amalekite was thus every man's enemy and the object of universal dislike. David had learned a lesson here from the Amalekites' attack on Ziklag. And I believe it would do all of us good to learn this lesson. And the lesson is this, and it's a sobering truth. When you attack evil, when you go after it head on, evil doesn't take it lightly. And they're going to attack back. Israel and the forces of the people of God had come against the Amalekites in the previous chapters here, and the Amalekites didn't take it lightly. They retaliated, if you will. And the forces of evil will not hesitate to burn down your Ziklag in retaliation for being attacked. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord has no time for the Amalekites. Whether they be enemies of Israel or church dissidents, God is going to deal with them in judgment. So Ziklag was a place of tragedy. Number two, Ziklag was a place of tears. Tears, my friend. Verse 4 of our text says, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Imagine this sight, these tears of sorrow. These are grown men, Brother Ronnie. And the Bible says that they have wept until they have no more power to weep. You think about their situation. They've come back to Ziklag, and they have no way of knowing here that their wives and their children have been spared. Yes, they were spared by the mercy of God, but David and his men didn't know that. So they're not only grieving over the loss of material possessions, they're grieving preeminently over the apparent loss of their loved ones. And it is a hard thing. It is a discouraging thing when we know not the whereabouts of those that we love. And so it was secondly a place of tears. I'd like to say number three, it was a place of treachery. Treachery. Now here's where the message gets personal. Look at what David has gone through. Verse number six says that David was greatly distressed and that the people, his own people, spake of stoning him. Look at what he's been through, friend. And this stoning threat here is a culmination of all his problems over the last few years. It started out, Saul rejected him. Then you have the fact that the other Israelites sided with the king against David. Then he was rejected by the Philistines and thrown out of their army. Then the Amalekites come in, burn down his city, and now his own people turned their back on him and threatened to stone him. And it's one thing when an enemy does you wrong, but it's a completely different thing when those that you thought were your friend turn their back on you. And here David's own people take up stones and they threaten to take his life. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. When it seemed like for David that it could get no worse, it did. His own people turned their backs on him and threatened his life. Now here's my question. Where is David going to turn for encouragement now? His children are gone, his wives are gone, and his men are standing there with stones in their hands. Who was there that would encourage David and give him a comforting word? The answer is nobody. He felt like he didn't have a friend in the world. I think about the words of another psalm written by David. Psalm 142, verse 4 says this, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me. No man cared for my soul. How sad that is. But that's the way he felt. And we've got this artificial plastic Christianity today that proclaims to people that if you'll get saved and get right with God, you'll never have a problem. And these bunch of lying liberals will get up and they'll tell you, man, that if you just love Jesus, then everything in your life will be wonderful. You'll drive a fancy sports car, live in a beautiful home, your dog will sleep in an air-conditioned doghouse, and everything will just be wonderful. Well, that sounds real good. Only problem is it isn't true. For the Scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. The Scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous. You are going to get discouraged. I guarantee you if you're saved any amount of time, you will come to a Ziklag in your life. A place of discouragement. A place where you feel like there's no pain you can turn to for encouragement. You think about the reality of discouragement for a moment. We've got many in our day that are Pharisees and feel like that if anyone is discouraged or depressed, that means they're all of a sudden not right with God. And they're on this spiritual plateau, and my friend, they look down their noses upon those that are in the ditch, not knowing they could be the next ones that are lying in that ditch. But discouragement is a ditch that's experienced by all the saints of God. Would you listen to what Paul said? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you're going through is common. Everybody goes through it. Everybody gets discouraged. But I'm glad Paul said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm glad tonight that when we go through the fires of temptation and the valleys of discouragement, God says, I'll make a way for you to escape so you can bear it. And brother, if he didn't do that, they wouldn't have one of us make it. We'd eternally be in the valley if not for the goodness of God. Discouragement is experienced by all saints. Discouragement is exemplified in the Scriptures. Now I want you to listen to some verses in the Word of God. These are speaking of the children of Israel. They've left Egypt, they're out of bondage, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. But between Egypt and the Promised Land, listen to the Word of God. Numbers 21, verse 4. They journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Numbers 32, verse 9. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Do we find ourselves, or do we think ourselves better than God's people were in the Old Testament? Do we think this evening, friend, that we cannot be discouraged? I'm going to tell you something. If God's people, who had seen His delivering power, had watched Him split the Red Sea, they had watched Him feed them with milk and honey and manna out of the sky, if those people could get discouraged, none of us are above discouragement either. Amen. It's experienced by all saints, and it's exemplified in the Scriptures, but I'd like to say number three, discouragement is evoked by Satan. You know why it's easy to get discouraged? Because God's people have an enemy. And that enemy has come to discourage us. Jesus talking about the enemy, the thief, the devil. John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Did everybody get that tonight? Amen. The devil is out to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's on a mission. And these are his desire. There's nothing good in this, Brother Ronnie. He's all about stealing and killing and destroying. And I hate to give him credit, but I'm going to have to be honest and say he's doing a good job of it in the day we live. He's doing a lot of stealing and killing and destroying. And so we have an enemy. And the enemy loves to bring discouragement. You know how that fellow works, that devil, that wicked one? He's a liar. And he'll tell the unsaved, you're saved. Everything's fine. Don't you worry about getting right with God. You're already saved. Remember that little prayer you prayed? You go to church all the time. You're surely saved. But then he'll speak to those who are saved. He'll lie to them and tell them they're not saved. He's always lying and trying to discourage the people of God. And so that's the reality of discouragement. Let me move quickly to the reaction of David. I like verse 6 of our text. The Bible said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David's reaction to discouragement, listen, it's the best possible reaction for any child of God. Sometimes we have to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord alone. I never thought I could tell you at 28 years old that I've had to learn to encourage myself in the Lord alone, but I have. I felt like at times in my life that nobody cared. I felt like at times in my life that it was all useless and in vain. And I tell you what I've had to do. I've had to learn to encourage myself in the Lord. Boy, it's a privilege and a blessing to know that we can look to Him for the encouragement that we need. Amen. You go in some churches nowadays, and you're looking for something from the Lord, and you need to hear a message from God, but instead of preaching and trying to encourage people, you'll get some pastor, some Laodicean hireling up in that pulpit, and he'll stand there and he'll preach condemnation rather than encouragement. What a shame it is. Many times that God's people can't find encouragement in the house of God, the very place where we ought to be lifted up and blessed and encouraged. There's none to be found. And so we must learn to encourage ourselves. David said in Psalm 121, beginning with verse 1, I love this verse of Scripture. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I like what he said, Brother Bobby. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, not from the Pope, not from the Baptist church, but he said, my help cometh from the Lord. And by the way, he didn't say from the government either. Amen. He didn't look, my friend, to politicians for his help. He turned to the Lord for his help. Well, we're living in a country this evening, friend, where too many people are dependent on the government to bail them out of the situation they're in. But I'm going to tell you the truth of the matter is the only one can bail you out is Jesus Christ. Amen! That's right! You better look to Him and encourage yourself in the Lord. There was encouragement in a position, David said, in the Lord his God. And what a blessing tonight to know that God's people are positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time that we were without Christ. We were aliens and we were strangers. But through the adopting power of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we who sometimes we're far off. We've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. And now we are accepted in the Beloved. Well, I'm going to tell you what encourages me. That's the fact that God has accepted me in His Son. Just as I am, He accepted me, friend. Listen, you may mess up your life, and your friends may never accept you. Your family may never accept you again. Your church may never accept you again. This society may never accept you again. But if the God of heaven accepts you, that's all that really matters. I'm encouraged in the position in the Lord. I'm encouraged in a person. David said, in the Lord. I'm encouraged tonight in a caring person. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's a caring person, a compassionate person. The book of Hebrews invites God's people to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Glory to God, I'm glad there's a caring, compassionate person that we can look to. But not only that, he's a comforting person. 2 Corinthians 1:3 calls God the God of all comfort. Boy, if you need comfort, if you need encouragement, I'm glad you can turn to the Lord. There's encouragement in a position. I've got to hurry and close. There's encouragement in a person, but then there's an encouragement in a possession. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He didn't go to somebody else's God. He wasn't relying upon the God of this world, but it was in the Lord, his God. Oh, what a privilege and a blessing it is to know that in Christ we belong to God. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah 41:10. The Bible said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, listen, friend. It's encouraging to know that we have a God that'll never leave us and never forsake us. And so to encourage yourself in the Lord involves things like recalling your past provisions, blessings from God. Contemplating on God's power to deliver you from your present problem. And meditating on the wonderful promises He's made in His Word. That's the way we need to react when we're discouraged. And there's nobody who will encourage us. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Finally, here's the recovery of the departed. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He began to pray. And David asked God, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I go after them?" And God said, "Pursue." And God said, "Thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." And I'm glad the Scripture tells us later in 1 Samuel that David recovered all. He got it all back. Why is that, preacher? I'll tell you why. It's because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so I'd like to say this. What you're going through now, there's a lesson involved. God desires that you would learn to encourage yourself, not in things, not in other people, not in pleasures or possessions, but God wants you to learn what it is to encourage yourself in Him alone. And so may God help His people to learn the lesson that David learned at Ziklag, that when there's nobody to encourage you, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. That's the message. If you're discouraged, turn to Him in prayer. Look to Him. Look into His Word. And let Him lift you up and encourage you. The Bible said He heals the broken in heart. Maybe I'm preaching to someone whose heart is broken. You're discouraged. And you're at Ziklag in your personal life. But oh, I want to tell you about a God that loves you. He's able to lift you out of that valley of discouragement. And He's able to heal your broken heart. When nobody will encourage you, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank Thee for the message that Thou hast given to me. I pray, Lord, that it would not return void, but it would accomplish what You sent it to do and prosper in the thing in which You please. Speak to the heart of those who have heard and those who will hear this message, Father. May it serve a purpose in their life. There'll come a time that they'll be discouraged, as all of us are. May they learn to encourage themselves in Thee and in Thee alone. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. May God bless you.